It's time for Windows Weekly. The new Windows 10 is here. The new Windows 10 is here. No, not the final release, but we do have an update to the beta. Paul and Mary Jo will talk about that, why you will want to install it on desktop, and whatever you do, not install it on Windows Phone. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 414, recorded Wednesday, May 20th, 2015. A little stabby. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/Windows. That's LYNDA.com/Windows. And by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions, fee-free, go to BraintreePayments.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly with our brand new music. Thank you, Carl Franklin of .NET Rocks.
Hey.
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 I like all the haying. Hey.
Yeah, I just...
Hey. I think they actually they hired Angus to do that. Hey,
right,
Mr. Paul.
Except he would say, "Oi,
oi, oi, oi." Mr. Paul Thurrott, Thurrott.com. There he is with the Thurrott teacup. He's famous for his teacup. What does that teacup have in it? Coffee, good coffee. What kind of? I never asked you what kind of coffee. Dunkin' Donuts. What's in there?
No. We used to get this coffee from Italy called Guglielmo, but now we are the place
like
we got it locally doesn't stock it, so we've been getting Ely coffee.
Ely, my favorite. Yeah. Lisa doesn't believe me when I say Ely's the best. We drink a coffee here that's locally brewed and bottled. No, locally roasted by the Petaluma Coffee Company. It's called Godfather's Roar, and it's over roasted. It's really dark. And man, it makes a fine cup of coffee. I'm drinking it right now. Also here from allaboutmicrosoft.com, Mary Jo Foley. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi, Leo.
For some reason, I feel you're drinking a cup of green tea right now.
I am a tea drinker more than
kale
a coffee.
Tea.
Yeah.
No kale today.
No kale.
Kale in liquid
One day I drank a kale smoothie on the show.
I do remember.
I still get a little shudder up my back when I think about that.
Oh, you know, it's so funny because I now have a kale smoothie. When we pick up Lisa's son at school and take him to his tutors, we have half an hour to kill, and there's a Jamba Juice right in between, and we often stop for a little smoothie, and I always get some kale put in it in honor of you, Mary Jo Foley.
Good, nice. Good work.
Turns it kind of a greenish brown, but other than that...
Yeah, it's not the best color, but it's good for you.
Oh, it's good for you.
Kind of rocking an Irish forehead today.
You are. What, even out in the sun?
You really sun?
Yeah, I just walked around for a little while like a homeless person. But I don't know why.
You look great.
Why I'm red.
You look good, Paul. A little sun goes a long way with Paul Thurrott.
Yep.
Paul, did you threatened on the Twitter to install?
I was joking.
I hope you were install the new
stupid,
build
no.
of Windows. Oh, I am to install the new build of Windows 10 on your Skype machine while we were doing the show. You didn't do that.
I did install it on other machines.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And anything?
And I will install it on this machine. It looks good.
Preview build 10122.
Yep.
Do I have to be on the inner
fully
ring?
All the new stuff either.
Do I have to be on the super fast track or?
Yeah, fast ring build.
Fast ring build.
Mm-hmm. Or it just FRB. Came out an hour ago.
Yep.
You guys.
So. Looks good though.
Is it a big difference?
No, it's a lot of fetish type stuff. I would say. Now but the MSN apps have all been updated, which we'd seen in late builds, but they're really, really nice looking, which they always were. But they have a new layout, and they're really nice.
You know what I have to do? I've been remiss. I should really get it on this machine so I can show everybody. I will for next week. I'll have...
it literally just came out. I mean, you know, you might not have had it yet anyway.
Right. Are you punking me when you write the line, the march toward late July launch continues? That's just a joke, right?
I'll let the antagonists answer that charge.
Ms. Antagonist? What the hell? You said last week that was some OEM making a mistake. Now we're back?
No, it was an OEM who... The only mistake they made was saying it. I think it is going to be late July from everything I continue to hear.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is yet another milestone along the road.
Yeah.
They haven't yet said this is feature complete, but it looks like they're getting there.
No, but, pretty much. You know, the language they used was, you know, less new features going forward. Mm-hmm. A lot of
great,
talk multiple
filling.
Times mentioned, you know, as we were gearing up now for the end of this thing. I mean, I think all signs are pointing to this coming to a conclusion.
Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah. Although not really a conclusion, like we've said before. They're going to continue the insider ring, right? Fair and enough. Everybody's still going to get billed.
Oh, have they backtracked again, Mary Jo?
No, they're going to keep going. They're going to keep having things go forward with the insider program. And also, you know, as when you buy a PC later this year, if it has Windows 10, you'll have updates that came out since the time they declared it RTM. But what is new in this one? Like this build that came out today, it's more, I saw them say there was some new stuff with the start menu and continuum and
browser. Some refinements there. Most of them are just minor visual things, I would say.
Yeah.
They removed the toggle for start screen and start menu because they feel like most people are going to choose one or the other based on the device or use tablet mode to have it happen automatically.
What will tablet do? That'll be a start screen.
When in tablet mode. Yeah.
So you think most people will just live in start menu until they go tablet?
Well, yeah, I think if you're on a desktop computer, you live in start menu, period. You never want it to switch, so why have a button that's out there taking up space the whole time?
That makes sense.
You can still manually change it if you want to. You just can't do it right from the start menu.
You have to go in settings. And
yeah, exactly. The other new stuff, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff added to Edge, which is still called Project Spartan in this build, but the new tab page that they showed off in build is there, in private browsing is there, you know, a bunch of other small things like that. I'm trying to see what else is done. I mean, it seems like some of the colorizations are a little different in transparency. It's kind of nicer.
How about those big, ugly icons?
Oh, they're big and ugly, Leo. They're bigger and uglier.
Bigger and uglier. Well, that's an improvement.
No, they didn't talk about this in the post, but like I said, those MSN apps have all been updated. You know, news, money, sports, etc. Those are all really nice looking now. Really, really nice. And then they talked about a change to the default apps functionality, which I have to say only half understood, but I guess in Windows 8.1, only Win32 apps can actually trigger an OS prompt that says, you know, do you want to change the default app? But now any app can, and they have a new UI for that. I haven't seen that yet, but that's part of it. But it looks nice.
Are you writing a book on this, Paul?
Yeah. The question is whether I'm writing one book or two books.
What does that mean?
Because there's phone and then there's computer.
Oh, I see.
And I think they need to be different.
One book.
One Windows, one book.
No. Two Windows, two books.
I'm on the fence. But
two Windows, more money.
Yeah, maybe.
More Windows, more money.
Well, it seems like I could money, because I'm really clearly becoming rich is the idea.
It's big bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make a case for doing two since they have two different launch dates, right?
Oh, tell me that.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of a way. The problem is, it'd be nice to be able to just reuse all of the text that was the same between the two books, because a lot of the stuff would be describing the same things.
Yeah.
But then that becomes an update nightmare, right? So
every
time something in Project Spartan changes, I have to go to the exact place in both versions. And so I got to think about that. I'm trying to figure that one out. But
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Yeah, because Windows for PCs, we know, launches this summer, but Windows for phones after that.
But a couple of weeks after that,
No, we don't know when.
I bet it's more than a couple of months.
I bet it's like fall, don't you?
Yeah, I think October launch and real, I mean, actual availability of devices like November.
Yeah.
You know, based on because, history.
Yeah, I was going to say, based on the latest preview for that, which came out last week, right after we did Windows Weekly, they delivered Windows 10 Mobile 10080. And I saw you and others, people say it's still pretty buggy, that phone build.
The phone build is a steaming pile The phone build is really bad. And actually, the desktop PC build looks great. I mean, I just installed it, but it does look great. The phone build was notably bad from the second it was installed. And I'll give this warning out. It's too late, I think, for almost anybody who's going to hear it now. But wait, if you think back to February when they first announced the beta for phones, there was a Windows Insider app that they had put out for phone, and I installed it on my main phone, which is the Lumia 930, thinking the desktop builds look pretty good. You know, clearly the phone builds will look great. And then you may recall that first build that they issued only worked on 6 or 7 phones. It was all low-end stuff, and it was really disappointing. And so I kind of just forgot about it. You know, when the big build came out that finally supported a bunch of phones, one of the few phones it didn't support was the Lumia 930. And so this whole time, the Insider app's actually been on my phone that I've been carting around all day long, every day, but never doing anything because I just had one of those phones that never was going to get the build. So I kind of forgot it was there. I was testing it on other machines or other phones, and the phone builds have universally been pretty bad. And when this last build came out, like I said, I'd forgotten about it. And so one day I looked at my phone and it said, hey, you have a new update to install. And it was Windows 10. And I said, oh, God. And there's no way to back out of it. Once this thing has downloaded and started the install process, you can put it off. And then it's going to say, hey, on this day, this thing's installing. You know, and I woke up, I think it was yesterday, and this thing had installed Windows 10. And now my phone doesn't work. So I've had to switch to my 1520 temporarily until I'm going to have to wipe it out. It literally doesn't work. It's unworkable.
I saw a bunch of people saying this happened to them on Twitter. Yeah. And they're like, now what do I do? Like, I didn't want that build. And now it's just automatically going to come to my phone every time.
A lot of people saying, well, so there must be some way to short circuit this, right? Maybe uninstall the app or, you know, nope. No. it's barreling down the tracks. So you're going to have to, I'm going to have to, and you will have to if this has happened to you. Use the Lumia software recovery tool to go back to whatever the last supported version is, probably 8.1.
That thing scares me.
Yeah.
No, you said
I've always had good luck with it, but, well, for example, so I can look. One of the things that's on this phone is every single photo I've taken in 2015, right? Now, granted, I have downloaded a bunch of them to my PC or to OneDrive or whatever. But, you know, I kind of want to make sure I don't lose any of these things. And that's 8 gigabytes of photos. So that's one thing I had to deal. So even though it's like the screen won't come up. In fact, it's funny. I picked it up. It's like, it's warm, right? If you can see it, it will be funny because it will actually work, right? So it looks fine. It looks normal. And then you do the lock screen thing and you type my code. And it tells me it's wrong because I can never do it right the first time. And this is the start screen. It looks like this. It just says loading.
Loading.
And this will never correct itself, right?
Loading.
The entire time I've had Windows 10 on this phone, I've seen the start screen one time. And I was able to launch an app, and then that was it. I've never seen it come back. So it's just never, it will sit here like this. This will never, it will never fix. It's just never.
Somebody said somebody's saying in the chat room, a hard reboot will fix it. Have you tried
a hard reboot?
Like reset, you know. Like what is it?
That wipes out everything on the phone.
Oh, that's right.
Sure. I could wipe it out and go back to a build that I know is terrible, I guess. Or I could just go back to 8.1, which I know works.
Is there a way to reset it without erasing stuff?
No.
No. Okay. Because that's what they're saying. They're saying reset it. But you don't want to do that because, as you mentioned.
I've done everything I can do.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So
I think the tool would also erase it, right?
Yeah, right. Because what it's doing is downloading the retail image, and then it's blowing away whatever's on the phone and blasting the stock image back onto it.
So there's a little word of caution.
Yeah, again, it's delivered a little too late for most people, sadly. This thing came out about 6 days ago.
Not for me, because I didn't update my 1520 yet. So
I by the way, I've never done this before, but I had this previously on my 1520. I had it on an 830, I think, a 6:35. I whatever it was on, I don't see them here anymore, but whatever three phones it was on, I removed it from all of them.
Yikes.
This build is terrible.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But conversely, the desktop Windows 10 is great.
It looks great. Yeah. I mean, again, I can't, you know.
Is it time to put it on my Dell? Is it time?
Let's talk next week. Let's talk next week.
Okay.
If this thing heads out to slow ring, yeah, maybe.
End of July isn't that far off, folks.
No.
And that's the release. And wouldn't you be better off unless you're, gosh, I don't know, at this point, if you haven't installed the beta.
Right.
Why wouldn't you wait 2 months? Right?
I know. I'm waiting. I am going to wait.
I mean, and we don't know, or do we know, what the experience will be like for those who are running the beta when the full version comes out.
They said the goal is in-place upgrade.
Yeah,
right?
but in the past, it's not been a good experience.
They have said that they intend to support that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And once again, I ask, what could go wrong? I mean, if you're technical enough to have been installing this thing all along and you've actually updated build or whatever,
right?
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna want to clean install.
Fresh install, whether you need to or not. But that's kind of my point. Is if you haven't done it yet, you're obviously not a fast ring type of guy or gal.
Yes.
You're a slow ring, and so wait 2 more months. That's all.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Mary Jo, are you a fast ring kind of guy?
I am not.
She's a slow ringer. I could tell.
I am.
A dead ringer, you might say.
Dead ringer, yeah.
So,
I just don't see, especially at this point, it's like, it's fit and finish now. So,
yeah.
if you're really, really in a rush to see it before July, okay. Or, of course, if you're a developer, you would have already been installing it. You would.
Or IT person.
Right.
Do you think businesses are actively considering going from 7
to
10?
Yeah. Yeah, some are definitely. Yeah. And those people are starting already to kick the tires in very controlled ways and controlled settings, you know, just seeing what how much of a learning curve there's going to be and what they think of the experience now and whether they actually do want to plan for the upgrade.
Right.
So yeah, I think people are doing that.
So it might quite reasonably be somebody who's saying, "Well, and now it's coming down the pipe at me. I better look at it."
Yeah, definitely.
But they're not going to put it on a production machine because they have all those old computers lying around.
Not now, especially
when you fired the CEO. Yeah. You know, they got his old computers, so put it on that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's getting there though, and you know it's. One other thing about today's build I saw in the blog post that's probably worth noting is if you have a machine using an AMD processor, you should be a bit wary about this build because they warned that it'll...
Was it AMD? I think it was an AMD graphics.
Oh, it's the graphics. That's different because a lot of people have that.
I think so.
A lot of people will have an Intel CPU, but could have an AMD GPU.
You're right.
Oh.
It's AMD GPU. And if you have that, they warn Spartan could be crashy in this build.
Well, I better not put it on my Mac Pro.
It's like it's feeling a little stabby.
Exactly.
Yeah, stabby.
Yeah.
I feel a little dead. okay, that's actually good to know. Because I was going to put it on my Mac Pro, but now I won't. That has some two dual Radeons in there.
It will crash twice as hard, Leo.
I am putting it on here so we can open it up. But I noticed the ISO I'm downloading is from April, so I'll have to download, install.
Yeah, and then update it.
And then update,
yeah. So I had told someone the wrong information on Twitter. The ISOs don't come out until the slow ring, right? So,
but if you download the ISO and you're in the fast ring, it should give you an update pretty quick, right?
Yes. Yeah, immediately. Yep.
So that's the way I'll do it.
Yes.
You know, we just never know which ones they're going to push to the slow ring. If they don't push every build that's in the fast ring to the slow.
Right.
What about application compatibility? Somebody in the chat room is saying his Lightroom is not going to, the new Lightroom Creative Cloud is not loading, not opening. And then somebody else is saying, I ran it with no issue. Oh, well.
Well, Leo, I haven't checked every single application.
Every
on Earth
single.
I just
you
installed
haven't?
2 minutes
not
ago.
Yet.
How can you expect to be the guy who writes the book?
I mean, I will.
No, I know you will.
I mean, honestly, I was running a leaked build before this one. It was, I don't remember the exact build number. I want, you know, so this one's 122. I think it might have been 112 or 114 or somewhere in there. And I mean, I put some, I had full-blown Photoshop on there. I had, have, still have, I upgraded it. Visual Studio 2015 release candidate. I had some pretty heavy-duty stuff on there.
So I just downloaded the ISO, and it's 10074. It's the old one.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
So I'll let you know. Before the show is over, I will have Windows 10122 or whatever it is running.
All right. I believe you.
Okay. I have to put the product key in here. That's so weird that there's still a product key. Are they going to have a product key? I guess they will still have to. They're not giving up product keys, even though they're giving away the operating system.
Yeah, you know what? we don't know.
Another question. No one knows.
I think it's fair to say there will be product keys.
Yeah, because not everything is free.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, free or not, whatever. Let's say your computer gets Windows 10 for free because it qualifies.
Right.
There should be a product key tied to that hardware configuration. It makes sense to have that one-to-one relationship, right? And hopefully that's how it happens, because you could go back later, get the ISO, do a clean install. You could blow it away 2 years from now, do a clean install. It should just work.
Right.
And so that's my expectation. But, again, you know.
Who knows?
A lot of speculation, but we don't know.
What evil lurks in the hearts of men.
Yep, in the heart of the fast-ring builds.
All right, well, this is exciting. Not such good news for Windows Phone 10. Put off build 10080.
Yep.
It's in the words of Paul Thurrott, it's a freaking mess. It's a freak show.
I
got to find
a thing I wrote about this. It is a freaking mess, but the... You know, the build, like you said, is 10080.
Yeah.
And if you, I don't have it here, I can't find this. But if you install it and you look at, you go to settings about,
yeah,
you get the version number.
Yeah.
And of course, the version number is something completely different.
Oh,
because
no.
Microsoft, you know, like right. This, because that's the way they do things. So the version number is 10.0.12562.84.
Got it.
You know, why? Because, you know, yeah. Microsoft.
Now, Paul, I'm just going to make a mention of this. Paul does his own graphics on his website. That's always been true and no less true on Thurrott.com. I recognize that's the Park Güell in Barcelona.
Yes, it is. Yep. Because they launched that phone at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
Ah, so that's a little Spaniard boy using his Lumia.
Using a 640, I believe, yeah. 640 XL.
And that's a real person? Or is that a model?
I assume it's a model, yeah.
Oh, it's not your picture?
It's a stock photo.
Stock photo. But I like the Park Güell. I think that's a nice touch.
Yeah. That's a great park.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, so all of the 640, 640 XL stock photos have
Barcelona. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's neat.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yep.
And Paul has on his website screenshots and stuff. Mm-hmm. Stuff and nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
It's full of hamburgers, Leo.
Full of hamburger menu. Look at that.
We're going to talk about the Office apps. Office apps for the Windows Phone build, right? So that's one thing that was new in that build that Paul doesn't love. There, if you go to the beta store in that phone build, you can get for the first time the new Office apps for the Office Universal apps for Windows Phone, the touch first ones. And that's, we've been waiting for the preview of that since I think the end of April, right? Yep.
At least since I think Build was when they announced it, right?
Yeah, or just around that time, yeah.
Because it was delayed. We originally thought that was going to happen during Ignite, I think originally, and then maybe the week after Ignite, and then.
Yeah.
And I think the delay was probably the Build.
All right. Okay.
The other thing you can get that way, by the way, in this build is the new Xbox app, right? Which is going to replace the Smart Glass app. It closely follows the PC version. Yeah. It's pretty nice looking.
Okay. Well, here we go. I'm installing it now. There you go. It'll be fun.
See how it goes.
See how it goes. Let's take a break, and then I would like to kind of go into details on how, on the upgrades and so forth, because you have more information on that. Thanks to an Australian blogger. But first, a word from Lynda.com. Oh, I love Lynda.com. It's a great place to learn the stuff you would like to learn, whether it's for your business, you want to get a better job or promotion, or for fun, for your hobby, or both. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. That's one of the beauty parts about Lynda.com. I want you to go to lynda.com/windows. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? Listen up. Or turn on your tone. And that will take you right there. How do you like that, huh? Are we modern? Welcome, fans of Windows Weekly. Lynda.com. For the curious, for people who want to make things happen, for people who want to just have more fun in their hobbies. Maybe you want to take better photos. Maybe you want to learn HTML or master Excel or sharpen your Photoshop skills. They got it all. Some of the new Lynda.com courses, and there's new ones every week, include advanced, this is my hobby, advanced Microsoft Project Relational Database Design with FileMaker Pro. How about Agile at Work? Planning with Agile User Stories. You know, I took this course because our new web site was done agilely, and we had to do user stories, and I didn't know anything about that. So, boy, this was a great course. I've talked about Code Clinic before, their multi-course series. You get Lynda.com's experts. By the way, their experts are great teachers and real experts in the field. So in Code Clinic, you get a code challenge, and they offer solutions. They have a bunch of experts in different languages, C++, C#, Java, PHP, Python, and Ruby. And now JavaScript, C, R, and Swift. What the what? Windows 8.1 update, first look. Essential training, Microsoft Excel, or Access. SharePoint Online Essential Training. Now there's a course for you with Gina Corder. This is a great course. This is, you want it, Lynda.com, Lynda.com.
Welcome to SharePoint Online Essential Training. My name is Ginny Corder. In this course, we will be taking a look at the features of Microsoft SharePoint Online.
I'm just going to let that run in the background so we can all learn from Ginny. Watch and learn from top experts who are passionate about teaching. Stream thousands of courses, more than 3,000 now at last count, on demand. Learn when you want at your own pace. The courses are structured so you could watch them from start to finish, or you could watch a little bit here, a little bit there. And because they have full text transcriptions, you can actually jump to the part of the course that has the answer you need. So it's great reference material, too. You can even download them and watch them on your Android or iOS device. Lynda.com. Whether you're looking to become an expert, you're passionate about a hobby, or you just want to learn something new. Lynda.com/windows. Sign up for your free 10-day trial today. Lynda.com/windows. We thank them so much for their support. Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. We're talking about Windows, and of course, as we get closer to the day, and I'm just fascinated to hear, because I got the impression that it wasn't going to be in July from last time we talked, but now we feel fairly confident.
I think we felt confident. Microsoft is saying it's just a partner who said it, like right. It's a rumor, but I haven't heard anybody I know, sources or otherwise, say it's not
all right.
End of July.
Okay. All right.
Let's see.
All Microsoft will commit to is summer.
Yeah, that's, I think they smart. Say late summer.
Late summer. Well, yeah. See, end of July is not late summer. That's smack not dab really. In the middle.
Yeah, true.
In fact, it's early summer because summer doesn't begin until June 20th.
Yeah. I think that's, for them, worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think they're smart. Under promise, over deliver. Isn't that the best way to go?
Yep.
Not necessarily.
They've done for years.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good. That's good to know. Let's talk about what it's going to look like if you're doing the upgrade. Okay. Windows 10 upgrade paths.
We're finally getting a little more.
This is from an Australian partner blog, so presumably they got some information.
Yeah, so Richard Hay found this, who works at Paul's old site.
Oh, I got confused because I looked at the website and I thought, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're like, whose site is that?
Wait a minute. Why are we pointing to this piece of junk? But
I'm just happy that they're still promoting Windows 8 secrets over there in the sidebar.
Good. Yeah, see, they know You know, yeah, right there. Good.
Yeah, so an Australian partner blog, which is a Microsoft blog, posted a list of which versions can upgrade to which versions. And that's something Microsoft didn't tell us when they announced the different versions. We asked, but they wouldn't say. So the partner blog said, it's pretty predictable what they said. They said if you're running Windows 8.1 or Windows 7 Home Basic or Home Premium, you're going to go to Windows 10 Home. So now at least we know that's this the official.
We even speculated that's why they did the SKUs. Yeah. I mean, why have Home and Pro on a free version? Because you're upgrading from Home or Pro.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so Windows 8.1 Pro go to Windows 10 Pro.
Right.
Also, Windows 7 Professional and Ultimate also to Windows 10 Pro.
Oh, okay. Let's get that. Okay. Ultimate goes to Pro. Okay. Got it.
Ultimate goes to Pro. 8 and 8.1 Pro go to Pro, and Windows 7 Pro to Pro.
But Windows 7 Home
goes.
If I had Windows with Bing, where would I go?
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people are asking about that. And I think you're just going to go with whatever version you have. Right?
They haven't said anything about there being a Bing version. Right. If there isn't, right, I would say it's going to go Home. I mean, it's Bing is the core version. So
the Bing version was the free version on low-end machines, right? The sub-9-inch.
Yeah, but it's really not functionally different from the core version.
Yeah, it's just they put the name Bing in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bing is there. Just it's an OEM SKU, that Windows 8. With Bing, right? So,
well, that's a good question. So, if I have an OEM, I mean, almost everybody has an OEM version of Windows. Very few really buy and install Windows on a standalone machine. So, it's really not even an issue. You'll just get what you get.
Pretty much.
You'll like it.
And you'll like it.
Yeah.
Will there be an opportunity or even a reason to go from Home to Pro?
Sure. It would be the same as the reason and way that you do so today.
You could buy up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that this is in a look. I mean,
that's not free, though.
No, it's not free. But, you know, in Windows 8.1 today, you can do an in-place update.
Go to Ultimate if you want.
It's funny because the option for this appears in the start menu, but it does not run. It can't find the app.
Oh, you're looking at the new version. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that it would be the same.
Yeah.
And I suspect that it will be.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you have Windows 8.1 today, there's something in there called... Actually, was it not coming up here? Called... I don't see it. Oh, maybe because I already have the highest-end version. But if you have a lower-end version of Windows 8.1, you can... Sorry, let me bring it back up on this one. Now it's not coming up there either. Well... I'm just going to walk away from this conversation and say it's probably going to be away.
There'll be a way. You think it'll be in the store or it'll be a menu item? You said it's a menu item now?
It's a standalone app. I assume it will be somewhere. Yeah. But I don't see it now. So I don't know what I'm looking at anymore.
Who does?
It really did. Really did disappear. Yeah. Oh, hold on. I got it. I'm sorry. Get more features with a new edition of Windows.
Okay. Okay.
Is the name of it.
Okay.
So let me see. Why is this not here? Get more features.
Ed Bott's writing, Windows 10 upgrades won't be free for everyone. And then, this is the business stuff. This is about
licensing.
Yeah.
This is actually consumer stuff he's writing about. Oh. But it's more, you know, it's reminding people about things like when you license a version of Windows, the license is attached to the device, not the person, you know, and
right.
He has some cases about what if you're running in a VM, what if you're a system builder, like what's it going to look like?
Okay.
We're all just trying to piece this stuff together because so far we've heard almost no specifics from Microsoft on this. They've given us the version names and that's about it.
Remember, they promised to talk about this, but it hasn't really happened yet.
Well, we got time. But I actually...
There was a talk at WinHack in March, right in China, that was about this topic, but it was aimed at hardware makers. Right. So
it was.
There was some info we could glean, and there's some stuff later on that we got for phone that came from that. But it's not the full story, and it's certainly not what consumers need to hear because there's just a lot of missing information there.
Yeah, because so for instance, I bought a retail 8.1 for my I use it in virtualization on my Mac at home.
Right.
That would be upgradable, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would get it. I could get an ISO. I mean, I had a CD, a DVD. I mean, what happens?
Well, I mean, I don't know what you can get. We don't know. See, that's right. The thing that we don't know what they're going to supply.
Come to think of it, I have a Windows 7 DVD. I have a Windows 7 Ultimate DVD somewhere. So,
well, so it's, you know, the upgrade doesn't apply to the DVD, right? It doesn't go. It goes with the machine on which you install it, right? That's how product keys are.
But well, for instance, assigned. This Windows 7, that's long past. I installed it on an old machine that I no longer have. So now what? Reinstall it?
Yeah, I mean you could. I mean,
that serial number will be retail, no good, right?
Right. Well, you don't know how they're going to make it. This is the thing. We just don't know. I mean, we can sit here and kind of speculate.
Right. So the answer is I don't know.
Like you said earlier, most people get Windows with a new computer. Right. So those are pretty straightforward.
It's those of us who didn't.
It gets applied to that computer.
Yeah.
You know, if you bought like an OEM version of Windows, which is software that you can buy on Amazon, Newegg, or whatever, that license is not transferable. And so you could not take that and you install it on one computer and then later say, hey, I want to install this other computer. Right. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
If the retail version of Windows you're talking about, actually you could do it. You'd have to probably do a phone activation, but they would allow it because it's a retail version of Windows.
Yeah, I mean, I have, you know, the physical thing.
This is why there are books, Leo. This stuff is complex. It's hard to talk about off the top of your head because it is doubly hard here because we don't actually know how they're going to deliver this stuff to people and transfer this license to you. Not really you, but to the machine, but...
Yeah.
We just don't know yet. And then this is the wellspring of our community.
The issue, of course, would come up if you had Windows 7 or 8 installed on one machine and then tried to use that license on a different machine. But they would know because there's still activation and all that, right?
Yeah.
So they would know because they see all.
They see all. So somebody's saying the retail version is can be transferred to another machine. You just can't have it on more than one machine at a time. So that makes sense. So I could that's good, actually.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know what happened to that old machine. I mean, it's been retired.
That said, the chances are good that the machine you're transferring it from and the machine you're transferring it to both already qualify for the Windows 10 free upgrade.
Right.
Right. That's a good point. The chances are really good.
That's a good point. Right.
We're kind of splitting hairs a little bit here because over something that may not matter.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But we don't know.
Okay.
So, you know, again.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I don't want to promise anyone anything, right? I mean, I am nervous of the future conversation that begins. But you said,
it's guarantees.
It's important to qualify everything we're talking about here because there are many important details, that we just don't have.
No guarantees,
right? Yeah. And then you know, because people continue to ask about this, a lot of people are asking still about Windows RT and can. Can you upgrade to some version of Windows 10 from that? The answer is no. They've said no. And you're going to get some sort of an upgrade, but it's going to be a subset of Windows 10 features. And we don't know which ones, and we don't know when. So just repeating that for people who haven't heard that yet.
Yeah. Some RT update, but not a Windows 10.
Yeah.
RT's dead. Gone.
Can I make a prediction now? Because I know how people think and how they behave on Twitter. This is what's going to happen. They're going to release this RT update, and they may be stupid enough to call it something like Windows RT 8.2 or something. Let's just pretend that's what it's called.
Okay.
And you have to imagine it's going to have some subset of Windows 10 features, like Mary Jo said, and that subset may include things like the new Start menu that can be a Start screen or Start menu, and you know it's probably not going to have Edge because it wouldn't make sense to put the work into that. But you know maybe it has the new File Explorer, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
When they release this thing, we're going to hear complaints from people who have normal Windows computers who are going to say, "How come I can't get that update? That's all I want. I don't want Windows 10. I want that thing. Mm. I just want to predict that that's going to happen."
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Yep. We know that.
I know it's obvious. But
in a world where Twitter exists, virtually all, if it's possible, it will happen.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like you really have to you have to think through what will the people complain about for this. And it's every time it's something.
All possible universes exist on Twitter.
Yes. Yep.
Yes, they do.
Stephen Hawking would be proud.
Sure.
All right. So Windows as a service. Oh, boy. Okay. I'm going to be sorry I started this one.
You are. But I'm going to try to make this simple.
Okay. What happened?
Should I get some popcorn or something? Because this isn't
Maybe. So in addition to having these versions of Windows 10, there are also things called branches, right? And the branches tell you kind of how you're going to be able to patch and update your version of Windows. Is it already bad?
No, just the first sentence alone. Okay, go on.
All right.
There is a monster that lives in a cave.
If I just had a pen and a giant surface hub, I could diagram this.
You could illustrate this. Okay.
Okay, but envision like a table or a chart. Okay. On the left, you've got your Windows versions. Windows 10 Home, Windows 10 Pro, Windows 10 Enterprise, Windows 10 for Education. Then you have these things called branches that say, you know, when and how you're going to get patches, new features, security updates. There's a thing called the current branch for business, and long-term servicing branch. So there's three of those, and there's four of those. Envision a giant chart, like a matrix. I'm making it worse.
Exactly like a matrix.
I'll just tell you the things you need to know. If you are a business and you want to be on a branch that lets you never take any new features for Windows 10, like never, you want the long-term servicing branch. We think the only version of Windows that's going to be allowed to get the long-term servicing branch is Windows 10 for Enterprise. So that's only for businesses. Everybody else, no matter what SKU you're running, you're going to have to take these updates that Microsoft rolls out, features, hot fixes, and security updates. You're going to have to take them all at some point. If you're on the current branch, you have to take them right away. You can't delay. So that's people who are like Windows 10 Home, Windows 10 Pro. You know, when Microsoft rolls this out, you're going to take these and you're going to like them.
You're going to like it.
And if you don't like them, too bad.
It's hard not to hear that end of the sentence when you say, when you will take it.
You will. You will.
And you will like it.
Exactly. But if you are... anybody who can get what's called current branch for business, so that's some Windows 10 Pro, all Windows 10 Enterprise, all Windows 10 for Education. If you have the rights to that branch, you're going to have the option to delay taking the new features for a set period of time. We don't know what the set period is. It might be a month. It's not going to be a long window. Microsoft's goal is to get everybody on the same version of Windows 10, instead of having some people hold back security updates, some people not take certain new features, because that way you don't know, like you have to patch all these different scenarios where everybody's not at the same point. Their goal is let's get everybody to the extent possible on the same version with all the same updates, all the same security fixes, and all the same features. I know it sounds really complicated, and I'm actually trying to make it simple, but just know that If you're a business customer and you want never to take a new feature, you're going to have to be on Windows 10 Enterprise. You cannot be on any other version.
Interesting.
I just want to clarify, but make sure I understood what you just said. The only way to forever put off updates
is to be at least for 10 years, probably, right?
Okay.
So
the Enterprise version of Windows 10. And then I guess that would be applied by some kind of corporate policy, depending on how you were managing computers. Okay.
And that version, Windows 10 for Enterprise, is not free. That is one that you can't get for free. So in other words, if you're going to have to pay for that if you want that right to delay that forever.
Oh, you'll pay.
Oh, you will.
And just to
you'll take it and you'll like it, and oh, will you pay?
Just to reiterate, you said this and you've said it before, but just to, for everybody else, we'll be getting automatic pushed updates.
There's an interim too, right? In other words, what did you call? What's the name of the
branch for business? Is the interim
okay? Is the interim piece, and that allows manage businesses of any size to delay updates for some amount of time.
Some period of time.
And actually, have they specified that period of time?
Nope, they have not. I've heard some people say it might be as short as 1 month, but I have not seen anything that says how long that is. And then the other question is, and the way they're going to enforce that, this is kind of diabolical on their part. You can see.
It would have to be.
rubbing their hands together. Yeah.
I'm listening.
How do you make sure a business is going to do it? You say to them, we'll let you delay your new features and updates for a month, say. But if you don't apply them at some point, we're going to not give you any more security fixes for that version.
Yikes.
Yep. That's what they're going to do, I hear. So that's the way to enforce that policy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You need the security fixes, so you better update.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I guess what they're trying to do is an end run around someone who might be using a third-party system management solution of some kind where...
The whole thing's back. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
Yep.
Huh. And what is the Windows Update for Business, the lowest end SKU that can get that? Is it just Pro?
Pro. Yep.
Pro. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So I'm sorry that wasn't too simple, but.
No, and in fact, what's a shame is that I think this people hear this and they get a little nervous. But this shouldn't make you nervous, because if you're an IT professional in an enterprise situation, this you know this stuff, right? This is why you're an IT professional.
Technically, though, I mean, any business today could, I believe, hold back any update they wanted to.
You can
today. But that's the point. It's going to be different under 10.
I mean, that's different.
Yeah, that's changing.
And they've started to try to wean people away from that hold it back forever with Windows 8.1 and with Windows Server 2012 R2. They've started putting some things in place that make that less likely that you're going to hold back forever. But they're trying to teach IT pros new behavior, basically. Like so many IT pros, the way they've always done this is we're going to hold this till we decide we're ready, or where some things we're never going to patch, or some things we're never going to give any new features. And so they're trying to kind of wean people away.
It's sort of how the carriers treat Windows Phone.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, pretty much. Except not in a good way.
Yeah, right.
At all. Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I find this to be very, very confusing.
It's kind of diabolical, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
I understand why they're doing it. There are actually good reasons that they're doing this, which is, and they made this case, by the way, at Ignite. They said, because everybody's holding back different patches and some people are applying optional updates, some aren't. When we patch something, it's going to break some things because everybody's not on the same version and we can't test
They're sort of blaming everyone else for the problems updating.
And they admit they've been, like other Microsoft products that in the past they've allowed people and enabled people to do things a certain way. They're saying, we need to teach you the new way to do this. And we're part of this too. They have to learn that way too, right? For themselves inside.
I think the crux of this is going to be what time period a business on, let's say, Windows Update for Business or WSUS or whatever is going to be able to push back an update.
WSUS?
Windows Server Update Services. Kind of like an on-prem. Yeah. It's basically an on-prem filter between Windows Update and their users, and it lets
We've talked about this before, but I wanted to make sure people understand.
Yep.
That's my job here. I'm the acronym detector.
WSUS.
What's WSUS? So I now have installed my ISO. I'm running Windows 10, but that's the old version. And how will I get the new one? Just it'll happen.
Oh, so click Advanced Options.
Okay. Where would that be? Oh, here. No?
Right in the middle.
In the middle. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
And right down at the bottom where it says choose how preview builds.
Preview builds are on, and I want to get to fast. I was on slow ring.
Now go back. There's a back button.
It's like that should be a Creedence Clearwater Revival song. Come on and get the slow ring.
So once this important malicious software removal,
this is just updates because it's a new install, so it's getting
Once you do this update, it'll do the check rest. For updates again. You should see FBL awesome, whatever the build number is.
Excited! I really, actually have to say, I like Windows 10 so much better than 8. I feel really good.
I like it, but you know, there was a picture circulating on Twitter today, and I'm not into these kind of user-created mock-up things, but the big complaint I have about Windows 10 on the desktop from sort of a user experience update, you can see it in your screen there, that settings window is very dull, and there's no contrast. Like, I don't understand why that top bar isn't the same color as your accent color, like the color you see on the
Yeah, you're right.
Mark.
It's gray. Yeah.
Yeah. And just that. Yeah, like bring up the, I don't know.
Pretty.
So bring up, if you bring up, not in this build, it doesn't change.
Notifications.
If you bring up the File Explorer window, for example,
yeah.
The yellow folder at the bottom there.
I know what that is.
When that window opens, it is.
It's gray just, too. Yeah.
It's gray. I mean, the icons are bright, you know, that are inside.
They might change
it,
that though. You're right.
I think they will.
Yeah. You know, it'd be great. Let's make it translucent. You could kind of make it, I don't know, we'll call it arrow.
I like it. Like a glass effect. You
glassy
mean.
Kind of.
Have you heard
a,
of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're
they
so
could use
awesome.
The GPU to render it, and it would I'd actually say battery life.
Hmm.
The icons are indeed colorful. They are indeed. Well,
they might be a little too colorful, I mean, compared to the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the idea, is that this way you can't miss them. You can't. And I like this. I like this pinning feature. I think that's kind of cool. Of course, it doesn't do anything. It's just.
Well, no, that indicates it is pinned.
Yeah, it is pinned. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very happy as we. I for one.
Yep.
I think you know the desktop stuff is pretty much there. Right? Yeah. There are questions still about usability on tablets, and of course the phone thing is.
Yeah.
Laughing stock right
yeah.
now. But,
but our advice is don't mess with your phone yet. Just wait.
Yeah. I always use the Jerry Purnell thing. Remember his line was, you know, I make these mistakes so you don't have to.
Have to exactly.
I just make these mistakes. I'm an idiot.
Right.
And you should follow my lead and not make those mistakes.
Paul, I'm going to give you an award. It's a Cortana lunchbox.
Oh, I have one of those already. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Man. Those
did you get a Lumia 635
yeah,
inside that?
Yeah, there was a phone in it. Yeah. It says, "Hi, I'm Cortana." Yeah.
Yep.
Isn't that cute?
That is
I bring that when I go to work.
Yeah.
It's my lunch pail.
You go across as you go across the yard, right. You carry your little lunch pail.
Hi ho, hi ho. It's Windows 10 I go.
Yep.
Now it's in downloading FBL Impressive.
Yeah, that's it. FBL Impressive.
Impressive.
What did I say? FBL Awesome or something?
Awesome. Impressive. Awesome.
Whatever.
Whatever. It's going to go nicely with my Cortana lunchbox. That's all I know.
Yep.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think what I'll do is I'll keep Windows 10 off my Lumia 1520 and put it on that, what was it, a 630 or whatever they sent.
I had it on the 1520 and it was just
awful. I can't sacrifice...
Yeah,
I can't sacrifice my 1520 to that. I'm sorry.
No, don't. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Moving along. You know, so free for a year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We got to talk about this.
A lot of people.
let's talk.
Yeah, well, Microsoft didn't really explain what they meant. I chose to interpret that as hurry up, download Windows 10. We want everybody to be upgraded as quickly as possible. And then after a year, we're going to say, yeah, okay, it's still free forever. No.
Maybe.
No.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, well, I mean,
no.
I suppose that could happen too. But you know what? Remember when Windows 8 launched, it was $30, $40 for an upgrade for a limited time. And everyone thought they're going to keep it that way. They have to. And they didn't.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was a shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Yeah, so when Microsoft did announce that free for a year deal back in January, they said if you're on Windows 8.1, Windows 7 Service Pack 1, or Windows Phone 8.1, you can upgrade to Windows 10 for free for the first year that the operating system is available. So my assumption was what yours was, Leo. It's like, and after that, you probably will pay, right? But I guess...
By the way, that was not my assumption.
It wasn't? That was mine.
No. I'm sorry. Let's say you have received the free update.
Yeah.
So now it's a year later. You're not paying for it then.
No, you're not.
No.
So that's the part
everybody
got confused about this.
Yeah, a lot of people got confused in that.
Right. There were stories out
there. It's hard to word this clearly.
It really is. So if you are somebody who takes that one-year free deal and you get Windows 10... sometime between July 2015 and July 2016, let's say if it launches in July, after that, if you have it for free, you're going to keep getting updates for free.
Yes.
You're not suddenly going to start paying for updates next July. That's not what this means.
Good.
It means
it doesn't
if you
move
decided
into like
not
limited
to take the free-
usability mode or something.
No,
it's not that.
You got it. You're a full-fledged member of the Windows
you're
community.
In. You're in the club. Yep.
And you're in for the lifetime, the support lifetime of
that machine.
The device.
Something.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, they say the hardware, but.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you didn't take the deal, like say you decide, you know what, I'm not ready to do this yet. I don't want that first year deal. Mm-hmm. And then say next September 2016, you go, you know what, now I want to go to Windows 10. Unless Microsoft extends the free one-year deal, you're going to have to pay something to get it.
Well, who was confused about that?
Oh, man, everybody. I've gotten so many questions and queries because a lot of people thought this meant after the first year, you were going to start paying for upgrades. That's not what it
means. Well, yeah, that I understand. But, you know, someone who decided all along not to upgrade, and now it's 15 months later. And you know what? I think I do want to upgrade to Windows 10. I mean, did people really think
that? I guess they thought it was going to be like, yeah, they did it this year, but they're going to just extend it indefinitely. And they did.
Oh, geez, wow.
They may. We don't know, right? But
well, we can't see the future, sure. But
I feel like. So why give it away for a year and then start charging for it?
They're not going to do
that. They just won't.
Why only for 1 year, you mean?
No, why would you do that?
To rush everybody to upgrade.
To print. And that's why they're saying that.
But this
imagine
is gonna be
the upset the day after when all of a sudden it's $159 or whatever. No,
but who are those people that 366 days later or whatever
suddenly saying, I want to go to Windows.
Wow, now I really want to do it. What do you mean they canceled the deal? I mean, what is this audience? I don't understand.
People aren't paying attention. You see, we pay attention, you and I.
But people who don't pay attention deserve to be punished.
Therein lies the problem. It's that mindset, I think.
There's also so I'll make another case of people who might delay. Yep. Business users who want Pro, right? Say you're a business user.
Yeah, because they don't want to be and don't want force updates.
You don't say you're on Windows 7 Pro or Windows 8.1 Pro right now.
Yeah.
You're a business customer.
Yeah.
And Microsoft comes out with Windows 10. You're like, you know what? I'm going to let people kick the tires for a bit and see how this goes. I'm not ready to upgrade. No. And or your company says, you can't upgrade for 2 years.
Yeah. By the way, that will be a lot of companies.
That's very common.
That will be.
That's probably the default position.
Well, but if the plan, so first of all, this is a non-enterprise, right? So this is a smaller business.
Right.
It's my business.
Small business.
It's my business.
Your business. Yeah. And, you know, maybe that's your attitude. I don't want to do this right away. Let's, but you're not, you know. Yeah. 6 months, right? I mean,
it's
how long are you going to wait?
Or longer.
Well, you're not going to wait a year because it's not free after a year, right?
That's why
unless they extend the deal, right?
Which I think they will, but they ain't going to say anything until then, right?
Right.
If your plan is to assume they're going to change their policy, this is just flawed.
I know. It's not.
Maybe they will.
Maybe they will.
But I don't.
But the idea, Microsoft's idea is let's get as many people to upgrade to Windows 10 as soon as we can. Right? That's the game plan.
I'm a gambling
man. So the way you
man.
Do that, make it free.
I'm a for gambling 1 year. Man. I'm gonna wait. Actually, I don't know what we're gonna do. You know, it's not really up to me. Our IT guy Russell.
Yeah.
I don't know what his position will be on this. If it were, I mean, frankly, I would want to upgrade to 10 if I were out there. If I were one of the little people.
Yeah, but that's what the IT is the man to the little people. No, their job is to say no.
Yeah, that's his job. Yeah.
Here's another group of people that might delay. Rich Woods is saying on Twitter, you know, the people who want the placeholder replacement on OneDrive and who are going to stay with Windows 8. Yep, there's a group of people. That group exists, and those people also won't
put
be rushing.
Feature
that's
X
actually
here.
Fairly reasonable.
Feature,
to be honest.
You know, I love the Charms Bar. I mean, there's got to be any given feature that they don't want to give up. You know,
our editors won't because
those machines we have to make sure that Premiere works as expected.
Right. Right. So there has to be some kind of testing that occurs to make sure it's okay.
Right.
But if you're relying on whatever, I mean, I get it. I get waiting, but you know, wait 10 or 11 months. Don't, you know.
Yeah.
Well, they're using Windows 8.1, by the way. They're not using Windows 7.
The question too, we should know the price, right? So in other words, there's all kinds of things that could happen. But let's just say within the first month of RTM/GA, we're going to know what the upgrade cost is.
Right.
What if it's $40?
Oh, then it's no big deal.
Who cares then?
Right?
Then who cares? Just wait.
If it's under $100,
$200, then we have a problem.
Right, exactly.
The other thing is, since we're speculating, what the hell, it's fun. You know, yeah. Microsoft might, at that expiration of the 1 year, say, okay, so now it's not free. The year has expired, but now we have a special deal.
Right.
Upgrades are going to be half price for the next year or something. Maybe they go up in price over time. The longer you wait, the more you pay. I don't know. All kinds of things that could happen.
Yep. Yep.
Honestly, that OneDrive thing you just said was probably the best excuse I've heard so far.
Yeah. The TriCaster says the same.
He yeah. tweeted.
Waving hand. I'm one of those people yeah. who's going to wait.
TriCaster we never gets upgraded. It was running Windows XP till recently.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So, there you go.
There are people who need to wait or want to wait or are being forced to wait.
And for those people, we salute you.
You're not hasty decision makers.
Right. And the piracy thing, I think we now know.
We've always known.
But. We've always known. It's not.
Yeah, nothing has changed.
There's no amnesty program. This is not.
Nope. Nothing has changed.
Come in from your.
The only thing they said in that post, though, I will say, there was one bit. I kind of printed the whole thing out, not on paper, but. And then kind of commented on each section. And each time it was like, yep, we already knew that. Yep, already knew that. Yep, already knew that. And then there was this line. It said, in partnership with some of our valued OEM partners, by which they mean PC makers, we're planning very attractive Windows 10 upgrade offers for their customers running one of their older devices in a non-genuine state. Stay tuned to learn more from our partners on the specifics of their offers. So... that sounds like the Lenovos, HPs, Dells of the world are going to reach out to customers of theirs who are running their hardware but have a non-genuine version of Windows on there, and they're going to offer some kind of a special deal to get Windows 10 genuine version, which sounds like something's new. Something new. Thing is, they actually already offer this, by the way. Microsoft sells something to their partners called the Get Genuine Kit. And I would assume that this thing that they're talking about is, in fact, just a Windows 10 version of that. So it may just be a new version of something that already exists. But that's potentially new information.
Like that. Potentially new information.
Listen, I would love to have an answer to every question.
But that's the show. That's your job.
I think I am literally being as precise as I can be.
Yeah, no, you are. That's all we ask. We do not ask more precision than you are capable of.
The fact that as precise as I can be is humorous is because we have a Microsoft. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's just, you know.
Now, this was the one I thought was very interesting, and I really wanted to get your take on it. We talked about it on Twitter on Sunday, which is Microsoft basically saying, I think it was a blog post, we are going to make sure all Windows phones are up to date. Then that's our job. We're going to update those. We're going to go around the carriers.
They didn't really. I'm not really sure they say that.
They implied it, I guess. But
here's the thing: something magic hasn't happened where the carriers get caught out of the picture.
Well, yeah, it's not like that. Microsoft has a lot of leverage.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, we all want to believe this is true.
And that's how it is on the iPhone.
Windows Phone 7 came out.
But Steve Jobs negotiated stiff terms when the iPhone came out, and those terms have been preserved.
Well, by the way, after being rejected by other carriers, finally Singular said yes to everything that he demanded.
Right.
The iPhone took off eventually, and now Apple sets the terms. There's no going back. You know, Apple's the only company that gets that deal.
But why would – okay. So – certainly on Android, there's carrier-specific stuff on every Android phone. There's manufacturer-specific stuff on every Android phone. So when Android is updated, first the manufacturers and then the carriers have to do soak tests and update and blah, blah, blah. And often they don't even bother updating. That's one of the reasons for
I have a Samsung Galaxy S5 that was brand new but a year ago.
Yeah.
It is not on Android 5. Anything.
No. In fact,
it's
most
the only version of this phone that is not.
Yeah.
If you have this on Verizon or T-Mobile or whatever, you got that update.
Yeah.
You did not get it. I'm on AT&T.
If you have a Note 4, you're hoping you didn't get the update date because it broke them. But that's another matter.
Okay. But, you know, great. So that's just the way this goes. And so...
the Lumia is... maybe they mean Lumia.
Doesn't matter if it's a Lumia. Unless Microsoft sells it to you directly, sans contract, unlocked, they can't bypass the carriers to deliver these kinds of updates.
Why? Can't they just push the data down? I mean, Why is it, why do the carriers have to get involved? I see if it went over carriers' networks.
Because the carrier is the one that has the agreement with Microsoft to sell that device.
Ah.
And part of that agreement is they get to call the shots because they don't want certain things on the network. It doesn't matter if this makes sense, by the way. I want to be really clear. It doesn't matter if what
there's
the carriers
no technical,
want.
Makes, there's no technical reason for it.
There's absolutely no technical reason. Because yeah. a lot of people will say, well, I mean, why not just let it go over Wi-Fi? To which I would say, absolutely, why not?
Right.
Because carriers, that's why not.
And
I, so
and,
we'll, I, yes. I, you know, okay. we'll see. I just, I don't understand in this day and age. I've said this a million times. I think every single day on any phone, I don't care what kind of phone you have, Windows Phone, Android, iOS, you're updating tens, hundreds of megabytes, possibly more, of app updates every single day.
Yeah.
You can do that over your cellular network. You can do it over Wi-Fi. For some reason, no one has a problem with this. These apps could do, they're sandboxed, I get it. But as far as like them consuming data and doing stuff over cellular, they have those permissions. They could abuse the network in various ways. There's no one has ever tried to stop this from happening. Yeah. But Microsoft wants to ship a security update for Windows Phone or a functional update to a CoreOS component. And suddenly that's a problem. And I don't understand it. I completely agree and understand why people are disgruntled over this. And I... What can I tell you? All I know is these companies supposedly test these updates. Microsoft has provided them with a lot of data. I think the plan going forward is to provide them with Windows Insider users who are using that app to update early and saying, look, it went out to X number of users. No one's had any problems on all of the devices that are on your network. Please release the update. And I'm telling you, they have never done anything that they've said they were going to do, and they've never done the right thing. So I don't understand why we think they're going to change now. I feel like a broken record. This yeah. is me from 2010. I had this yeah. argument with Microsoft.
And they never, and it's never happened before. You were right. And you've been right all along.
It's never.
It's the goal, right? I think that's the thing. Microsoft, like, this is like.
Inner peace is a goal. I mean, I don't, you know. Right. Sure.
Making that announcement. And they, I mean, am I wrong? Did I misread it? It felt like they made that announcement. No?
What they said.
In January, he said. It would have been Terry Myerson would have said something to this effect on stage because we asked them about it, remember, when we were heading over to do Windows Weekly.
Right.
And they said to us that they have a plan and that they will reveal more information later. I think the insinuation was it built.
Then at Ignite, actually, when they announced Windows Update for Business, in that blog post they said, Microsoft's new continuous update policy will apply to all devices, yes. including phones.
That's the one I'm talking about.
But... They never said
but
how.
You know what?
Like how is it going to work?
If you have bought a phone, let's just use AT&T, the punching bag of the moment. If your company is using AT&T and you've deployed Lumias, whatever they are, to your workforce for some reason, that the company doesn't exist, but let's just pretend what a perfect world that would be. Microsoft is delivering updates through Windows Update for Business, it doesn't matter, for a phone. I still think that the carrier isn't going to be in the end of that chain. Microsoft will have come through on their end of the agreement. Windows Insiders will get it because they have that app on their phone. And I don't think they're going to be able to ship it to those phones out in the general populace. I really don't. I think the carrier is still that final lock on the last door.
I mean, the way they can say they're doing this is to do it through Insider, right? Windows Insider program. They could push yes. it to people in Insider program and say, see, we're not being hamstrung by the carriers. We're giving it right to you. But that's... As far as I understand, that's a preview release at that point. It's not a final, right?
Aren't there also questions about whether that breaks the warranty on your phone?
Yeah. There are questions about that. At WinHack China, Microsoft talked about this thing called Project Milky Way. The goal was a slide to OEMs and it said, our goal is to delight users by keeping their mobile devices updated to the latest release within 4 to 6 weeks of when we release a feature. So they had a whole plan for how to do this, but even that plan seems to imply that somehow carriers are going to be part of that.
By the way, it doesn't just imply it. There's a slide that shows it. There's a green box.
The one that says validate OTA updates.
Right. Those green boxes, the green means not Microsoft, partners. And partners aren't just hardware makers. Partners are also the carriers.
Right.
Validate over-the-air updates on retail phones. It does. In other words, it's not getting pushed to the production server until that right. step happens, and that's where the wireless carrier gets in the way.
Right.
I don't think anything's changed. I really don't think anything's changed.
I think they just like before, they would love to have this happen. They'd love to be able to go around the carriers because the carriers have just been holding all of us hostage with these updates. And they know it and we know it. And the goal is to get everybody on the same most up-to-date release. But as long as the carrier is in that diagram.
The carrier business model does not coincide with what is best for us as users and what is best for Microsoft as the maker of the platform.
You said a mouthful there, yeah.
Right? I mean, what they want is for you to be unhappy that your phone is not being updated, so you get a new phone. Right. If you go to them, they'll say, here's an idea to use AT&T again. We have this program called Next, and using Next, you could tack a little bit of extra money onto your plan every month, and you can get a new phone every year or whatever the time frame is. It's probably a few choices. So don't worry about getting updates on your Lumia, whatever, because after 1 year, you can move along to a Lumia something else. You can move along to an iPhone, which, by the way, gets updates all the time, or an Android device, and you can take your chances there as well. And they're making money when they do that. And that's their interests being pushed forward and our interests being pushed to the pushed aside.
Yep. So there.
I just don't see any reason why it doesn't happen that way.
And then to kind of close the loop on this, when beta went back to Microsoft, when these reports through EdBot and other people came out saying, Microsoft's going to cut the delay out. Microsoft said to Win Beta, we will continue to work closely with mobile operators on testing to meet and exceed quality bars. So they're saying they're still in the picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have to be.
Mm-hmm. And if they are, I don't see what Microsoft can do to stop the delay.
Here's one thing they could do. They could sell phones directly through the Microsoft store that are unlocked. Right. This hasn't been a gangbuster business for Google. They do that with the Nexus line of phones or whatever. Yeah. But this is, they could at least say, and by the way, they sort of do this with PCs, signature PCs and Surface is sort of the PC analog to this, right? Mm. Here are the phones. Yeah. You got them from us. There's no crapware on them. It doesn't matter Windows Phone. You can get rid of crapware, but you're not locked to a carrier. And if they're smart, they'll make these things with multiple, radios so they work everywhere, one phone, not multiple phones. The Windows Phone business model right now is such that, at least with Lumia, they basically sell the same phone to different carriers. And it's like these little mini exclusives. They change the model number a little bit. Sometimes it's dual SIM, sometimes it's LTE, sometimes it's LTE with dual SIM. Sometimes it's a different size screen. It's really the same stuff. They change the version number a little bit. They give everyone their little special version of the same thing. And it creates a whole bunch of different, slightly different stupid phones all over the place. They could just have a smaller set of phones, unlocked, no contract, multiple carrier support, bring your own SIM.
And could the carrier still stop updates that way, though?
No, they can't.
No. Yep. So right now, if you have an unlocked phone and you're, say, on AT&T, when Microsoft pushes out an update, don't you have to wait until your carrier pushes it to you, unless you're on the developer program?
So we don't actually technically have these types of phones today. Mm-hmm. So if I go to Expansys, and I buy what I'm buying is a phone that was unlocked from...
Right.
I don't know how they get unlocked. We don't really technically have the thing I'm asking for, but that phone's from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And so I get that. You get the update from based on whatever, wherever it's from, So for the 930 here that I just borked, that was a Thailand-based phone. It's not associated with a particular carrier in Thailand, but it is a Thailand-based phone. When Thailand got the Lumia Denim update, I got it on that phone.
Yeah.
Same thing for me. I had my 1520s from Singapore, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I remember.
We're Latin America. No, it was Latin America, and now I don't know where the hell it's from.
But when you first got it, that update wasn't available.
No.
And then at some point, they shipped it to Latin America.
Yeah,
Whatever schedule they have. So,
this doesn't include bug fixes and errors and stuff. They're going to fix those.
It should include everything. I mean, supposedly, there aren't any real, there are certainly no big public instances of this. But if Microsoft were to discover a 0-day attack that was effective on Windows Phone, presumably they could go to the carriers and say, look, this is some kind of exception. You need to let us push this update out. We know you need to test it, but this is important. It's not about delivering a new calendar or something stupid. It's presumably that's part of their agreement. I seem to remember there being some language to that effect. But I don't actually think that's ever happened, right? I what they really need is the ability just to bypass these companies altogether. And I think selling them directly, they have everything in place. They already do it with Surfaces. I mean, they aren't the same thing, obviously. There's no wireless carrier in the way. But, you know, you make the phones, you have a store. You know, just do that. I mean, I guess the problem would be if they ever did that, it's possible that some group of wireless carriers might then come to them and say, well, congratulations on your new phone venture. We're not going to be selling any more of your phones directly to consumers.
Oh, there's plenty of ways they can screw
they can.
Oh, yeah. No, they're good at that. And that's the one thing
they're
really
good at. It's probably even just a contractual violation. I mean, you know, you can't you just can't abrogate a contract. You have to honor it.
Yeah.
Now, the old days, Microsoft would have done that in a heartbeat.
You know, we're Microsoft.
Let's
Who
not pretend we don't miss that a little bit.
Verizon, AOL. What kind of company is that?
Here's what I think of your contract. You can shower in my contract. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, at least I can get Candy Crush Saga. Thank God.
Woohoo.
You know what the big unanswered question about Candy Crush Saga is?
What is the big unanswered question? Is there one? No. What is it?
Is this only for Windows 10 on PCs, or is it also for Windows phones?
This is the one they showed where it was the port from iOS, right?
Yep.
And how easy it was to do that. But that isn't, don't those ports,
well,
aren't
that was
they
on phone, though. I mean, this is actually, I don't think this app is available yet on Windows 10 for PCs, is it?
This says Candy Crush has been written for a Windows phone, right?
Yeah.
And then it says Microsoft will bundle Candy Crush Saga with Windows 10. It doesn't say...
It's bundled!
Bundled.
I'm so excited. Instead of Minesweeper...
Can we call it that?
Some people will be.
Well,
you're not the people who wants Microsoft to bundle Hadoop, I can tell you that. Not those people.
If you search for Candy Crush Saga on the Windows 10 store...
I know.
You get all that crapola stuff, which is like strategy guide, ultimate cheat.
Yeah, so... Tricks, right. I don't think it's out yet. I think that's the point. It's not actually out yet.
Right.
Yep. So in other words, at some point right after the release of Windows 10, you're going to, I mean, I can only imagine, I don't know how they're going to deliver it. Either a Windows update, which would be infiriating, or maybe it'll just be like an auto update through the store or something. I have no idea.
Maybe it could
be. The good
be
news is it's universal app. You can get rid of it.
It could be on the RTM. Why not?
If you read the actual announcement, I don't believe that it is in Windows. They describe how you get Windows 10 and then it appears on your computer.
It's
a sign of the times.
Instead of Spider Solitaire and Minesweeper, we'll get Candy Crush Saga and, I don't know, Angry Birds. You got to figure, you know, Candy Crush Saga is free. So it's not like it's such a great deal. You can get it in 3 seconds.
Yes.
I would bet it's a profit deal.
Me too.
That the guys at Candy Crush said, how much would it cost to make sure that every version of Windows ships with this?
Let me give you my imagined story of how this happened, and you will agree immediately that this is almost certainly what happened. Microsoft went to them and said, hey, we're developing this software that will let you port iOS apps and games to Windows Phone, and we'd like to you to try it on Candy Crush Saga. And they said, that's hilarious.
But...
why would we do that? Nobody uses Windows Phone. Right. And they were like, well... maybe there's some other way we could come to an agreement. And the agreement was, I have an idea. How about you make this part, you just give it away to everyone who has Windows 10? They probably said something to these guys like, our goal is to have Windows 10 go out to 1 billion people. And they were like, really? Well, now we can talk. You know, how about we give it away to those 1 billion people? I'm pretty sure that's what happened. This game is over three years old now.
According to Edward Snowden, there's maybe another reason for putting Candy Crush Saga on Windows 10.
All right.
According to Snowden, the NSA uses Candy Crush and Angry Birds.
That's awesome.
To leak your location information to the National Security Agency. How about that?
Oh, God.
How about that?
Well, they know where I am now. I'm recording a podcast. You can see my house.
All right. Enough of that. By the way, we may actually have that moment where the machine I'm working on reboots.
Yes. That would be awesome.
The Windows 10 update. What does the FBL stand for? An FBL impressive.
It's like Flight Build Lab.
Oh.
Yep.
_impressive is the flight of builds, I guess, that they're on.
It's not
the
Facebook library or something.
No.
No. That would be wrong.
Yeah.
64%. Gosh, there's so much more. Let's not slow down, Leo. Let's keep moving. Windows 10 on Raspberry Pi 2.
This one will be quick.
How is that?
Because there's not much to say.
Okay.
You download an image of Windows IoT Core. You put it onto an SD card in a very particular fashion. Plug it into your Raspberry Pi device.
Yeah.
Boot the thing off of it. And it boots to something called default app, which just has a screen that shows you the name of the machine, the IP address. It kind of just lets you know it's up and running.
There's no GUI, right?
So the point of this is that what you will do on another machine on your network is get Visual Studio 2015 going. You'll create a universal app, and you'll run it to that hardware. And as you build the project and it will run, and you'll see it on that screen, and then you can do whatever it is you're going to do. I mean, the goal here is not to create a full running Windows environment. These things are going to be typically going to be, single-use type of things.
Yeah.
Microsoft has all these examples of things like, weather stations, little kind of goofy sensor type things. And I think there's going to be a lot of that. But I actually think it's going to be possible for people to do, to make like a Roku-type device with one of these boards where you create the interface that runs a couple of different apps or something.
Well, you can already do it with other operating systems. So it's just,
There's going to be all kinds of that kind
of
stuff.
When do we get Windows Media Center for Raspberry Pi 2? Just joking. I'm just teasing.
Don't get their hopes up.
I'm a teaser.
It's that wound is still a little sore.
Yeah. Oh, and there's still rumors flying, that there's going to be a Windows Media Center for Xbox One kind of crazy stuff.
I think that's just called Xbox One.
Yeah. It is a media center. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Touch first office apps for Android phones. They're out.
They're out. Preview.
What do you
out.
Think?
Paul, I haven't tried.
Oh, is that mine? So when you think about all the places that Microsoft has gone with Office on the mobile devices, right? iPad, I think, was first. iPhone, Android tablets, preview, and then non-preview. Obviously, Windows and Windows Phone are in there in the Windows 10 timeframe, and we have preview versions of those. The last one, the missing piece, was Android handsets, phones. Mm-hmm. And so until yesterday, I think it was, basically what you had was an Office mobile app, which worked like Office Hub and Windows Phone, where it was just an Office one app, and you could access Word, Excel, and PowerPoint from within that app.
Right.
As of now, we have preview versions of the standalone Office apps. And so PowerPoint, Word, and Excel in standalone form, just like we do on every other platform. So if you're familiar with it on iPhone or on Windows 10 mobile for phones, basically the same set of apps, same set of capabilities, plus or minus whatever things are specific to the platforms. So not a lot to say there, just that they're out now in preview.
Hey. Do I have to sign up or do something special to get it, or is it in the store?
You actually have to go to the Google Plus page for Office.
That's what they do, yeah.
Which you had to do for the tablet version as well. And then they'll give you
join. You join a community. This is actually fairly common. I think this might even be a...
Like on Google, you mean...
you go to Google Plus. I just did this for Hyperlapse, for Microsoft Hyperlapse. Yeah. You go.
It's
you
so
join
cute
the Google
watching
Plus.
Microsoft do like the right thing for the platform. You know what I mean?
They gotta do what they gotta do. Get those.
Yeah,
the
no,
store.
It's no good for them. I don't mean that in a jerky way. I mean, it's
you're
it's
a nice. Jerk. Come on,
Leo. I know.
By the way, Hyperlapse. Hyperlapse is awesome on Android. I just want to say
Hyperlapse, the Microsoft thing.
Microsoft Hyperlapse. They're whatever. It's not. There's
actually, an. Should have been a pick. Did we not? We never did that as a pick, did we?
No, we didn't.
You can pick it now because it's now available on Android.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I pick it. Yep. I'll show you.
I pick it regularly. Leo.
I pick it all the time. I'll show you. I'll demonstrate it. And
sure.
Because Jason Howell did a really good one for All About Android last night. I liked it.
I should have done a Hyperlapse of my entire drive across the country. It would have been like, 30 minutes long, but it would have been really condensed down from like 4 days.
See the USA, the Hyperlapse way. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yep. I am...
Wish drive through Kansas is quick.
I am intrigued by the notion that Microsoft is reinventing email for iOS.
So are we.
I find that intriguing.
Are you?
You want to talk about that a little?
Yeah. So Microsoft is seemingly, I'm saying seemingly because this information comes from a leaked page that our friend Walking Cat on Twitter found. It's a new lightweight email application called Flow that is not meant supposedly to be a replacement for Outlook. It's meant to be a complement for it.
Oh.
So it's almost like a chat app from the description that you can use. It's still email, but you can go without subject lines or salutations or signatures.
It just flows.
And you can just have this conversation with one other person, and it will be part of your Outlook email. You'll be able to search that particular conversation separately. Exchange will be on the back end. But it's meant to be kind of not Outlook, like something lighter than Outlook, an alternative for people who might, you know, gravitate to other messaging platforms or other chat or social networking.
This is not a new idea. It's not a new idea on iOS, in fact.
Yeah,
doesn't Microsoft have another product called Flow, or am I wrong? No? No, okay.
I don't know.
I thought they did.
They have another product. This is what I likened it to. They have something called Skype Quick, which is a video chat app that's meant to be a lightweight chat app, similar to kind of what you do with SMS or IM, but for video.
Yeah.
And I think Flow is like Skype Quick, except it's for email. That's kind of how I'm explaining it when I try to explain it.
No, it's not out yet, right? I shouldn't go
not out yet,
go looking for it.
But the leaked page says it's going to be out for iPhone.
Yeah. Well, that's what everybody uses, isn't it? I mean,
everybody. Everybody uses anybody, except us who are in the 3%. Yeah.
Everybody else is using it.
Screw you, Laporte.
We don't know when or if it's coming also to Windows Phone or Android. Microsoft's not talking about it yet. But my guess would be it would come to all of the platforms if it's. Yeah.
Just like Sway did.
Yeah. Yeah, all the platforms.
Someday
my sway will come. Well, I'll look forward to this.
Yeah.
And Paul has a little piece on Microsoft's secret plan.
Well, in other words, no. It makes sense that they would take their traditional products and move them to mobile devices, right? And some people consider that kind of shocking, right? When they put Office on iPad, a lot of people are like, what are you doing? I think that makes sense, but, you know, that's not enough. If all Microsoft was going to do is ship a bunch of their old stuff on new platforms, that's not necessarily enough. And so with things like Office Mix and Office Sway, Skype Quick, like Mary Jo said, or this new Flow add-on for Outlook, this is giving us clues to the new Microsoft, you know, that it's not just about old ways of doing things. What about these new ways of doing things? Like, what are the new productivity things that we could, you know, the problems that we could solve? And I think that's what they're doing. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think this is a kind of a small indication of a wider trend.
Mm-hmm. And they're all short product names that can
that's
be
what I was just trying to find. So Mary Jo,
Sway, Flow.
Yeah,
we shared a bunch of names that would be potential Microsoft product names. the ones that Mary Jo came up with were Fold, Stir, Broil, and Bake.
Slab.
I came up with Thud, Dud, Wah.
Plop.
Yeah.
Microsoft Plop. I think there's a lot.
Thud.
Microsoft Thud.
Thud.
Thud like and Thud. Thud. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm running Microsoft Thud on my iPhone.
I like it. It's snappy. It's quick.
Yep.
it's like getting hit in the face with a brick.
I think this is actually this is the future.
This is the future.
This is the future. Short four-letter words.
We're going to talk about two things in this podcast in the future. One, you're going to be crazy cloud services that use Hadoop. And the second one is going to be stupid little mobile apps.
Four-letter
names.
Mobile apps.
I'm using Weak. God. What a life.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, well.
Well, I don't know what's next because, unfortunately, I'm installing Windows. And apparently, it's only 1% done.
God, we have 2%. A lot left. What's going on here?
I know. This is the longest. Whip through. Would you whip through them? I'm just going to sit back and watch the percentages go up while you...
Well, most of this stuff isn't all that important. I mean, there's a universal app version of Dropbox, right? That ship on Windows Phone and Windows.
Okay.
Firmware updates for Surface Pro 2 and 3.
Yeah.
That actually, for some reason, were released on Windows 10 a week ago, which is kind of hilarious.
Are those the same updates? I was curious.
I believe so, because the video driver update was one of them. Yeah.
Okay.
Surface 3 got the Windows 10 drivers, right? So if when I first got the device and I put the beta on, there were two devices missing in Device Manager. Now those are accounted for. Whew, you want to take the rest of these?
Lumia 640 really. Now in the U.S. Woohoo!
There you go.
Not the usual low-end crap, is Paul's note.
Oh, you like the 640?
Actually, the 640 is a pretty decent phone. It's a mid-level phone. It's cheap. It's $120 off contract. It is locked on Cricket, but it's coming to T-Mobile soon as well. It's not bad. It's not like they have a lot of low end phones. This one's a step up. It's pretty decent.
This next one on our list, I didn't even know about. So that's yours, Paul. The encryption.
So President Obama was having a meeting, I guess, yesterday to start the discussion about what the United States is going to do, if anything, about policy regarding encryption in U.S.-based computer products, right? This all started because Apple last year decided to ship encryption by default, which a lot of law enforcement people complained about. Are you getting bombarded by birds or something?
No, I was just like...
Is there a guy in the ledge building. Out there? There's, what's going on?
There's always weird sounds in my building that I'm curious. Someone's
the door. Someday some guy is going to swing through your window, you know?
I know.
Oh, man, there's
so many weird sounds.
So the point of this is simply that the major tech companies, including Microsoft, Apple, and Google, have all asked the president to not do something stupid like restrict the use of encryption, require some kind of a backdoor so that law enforcement can get into the devices and so forth. So we'll see what happens there. And I wrote this up because I really care about music services and I spend a lot of it. And in fact, I have a software pick related to this, but I see these deals and I see Spotify again had another announcement today, like Leo said about advancing into video.
It's a big announcement because we're in it.
And I have to think, if Microsoft isn't serious about Xbox Music to the point where they have apps on Android and iOS, but they kind of stink, and they don't, you never see stuff like this. And there will be stories where people will do like a roundup of internet streaming services and Xbox Music is never part of it, right? And so now Starbucks has gotten into what is still sort of an Apple partner, but I think will be a former Apple partner soon, and they're in Starbucks.
Yeah,
and so they're going to be doing the music in Starbucks. They're going to be giving free premium accounts to all Starbucks employees.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a major deal. I mean, it's a distribution point with like 7,000 retail locations in the United States alone. And then they're going to Canada and the UK as well. And so this is a service that I think has 60 million users.
Yes.
And
by the way, it's not just Spotify, because Apple's about to come out with their service in about a month. Jay-Z's Tidal. Nobody mentions Xbox Music anymore.
Never.
You got Amazon and Google, and they're also infuriated by that.
Yeah. No one even knows it exists.
Yeah.
Well, Mary Jo does. Mary Jo and I are two of the only people that have Xbox Music.
There's others. But,
yeah.
you gotta
either go in or go home. Like you're doing it or you're not. Yeah. They're never mentioned anywhere. Microsoft doesn't really mention it. They came out with a new work and play package, and the Xbox Music Pass isn't even part of it.
Yeah, so
they don't offer family subscriptions. They don't even have something as simple as dynamic playlists in Xbox Music. Kind of a fairly basic feature, which, by the way, Zune Music had 10 years ago.
Yeah,
9 years ago. I don't know. It's a little frustrating.
You know, it may be that Satya Nadella just really has a tin ear. No, it may be that they're going to focus on their core businesses. This is a different,
But the problem is there are people using it, and I'd rather have some clarity on this. And if this is not a a priority, if this is not something they're going to... You
know. Yeah.
So they do improve it. The funny thing is, like, I like the app. I like it on Windows Phone 8. I like it. I use it every day. It just feels like it's kind of in some weird limbo, though.
Yeah. Sigh.
All right. So you still can't see the notes? Is that correct?
I'm seconds
We're
away.
Ready for the back of the book.
I'm ready for the back of the book. All right. Let's take a break. And and as soon as the book gets back, we will have Windows 10. Can I talk about Braintree? And not talking Braintree, Mass. Up the road a bit from Dedham. But I bet you that's where they started. I'm just thinking that's probably why they call themselves Braintree. It's actually, though, you could say it's because it's really smart. And it's like a money tree where it's just you shake it and money comes out for you. If you're a mobile developer, oh, Braintree, you got to love it. The payment solution. It's used by the biggest and best in the business. Uber and Lyft. Right there, that tells you something. Airbnb and Hotel Tonight. Living Social. GitHub actually started with Braintree and Braintree scaled right up with them. From your first dollar to your billionth, Braintree has made payment experiences seamless and magical for so many, and now you can do the same with excellent customer service, simple integration. Braintree gets you ready to receive payments quickly. And Braintree's continuous support, fast payouts, means you're going to be prepared as your company grows from your first dollar to your billionth dollar. They're just awesome. By the way, there's a big, I can't remember what the number is. I think it's 70% of mobile carts are abandoned at checkout. So somebody goes to all the trouble to go through your app, pick out stuff, put it in the cart, goes to the cart, and then 70%, 7 out of 10 customers walk away because it's too hard, too complicated, or they don't want to enter a credit card number or whatever. And that's why your mobile payment solution is so important. And Braintree is really addressing that issue of mobile card abandonment. They have the best checkout experience anywhere. They take payments from Apple Pay, from PayPal, Bitcoin, Venmo, of course, credit cards. They make it seamless and magical for you and your customers. So I want you to try it. It's a full-stack payment solution, all payment types across the board, superior fraud protection, customer service, fast payouts. And if this weren't enough, I'm going to get you your first $50,000 in payments fee-free. $50,000 in transactions fee-free, braintreepayments.com/windows. You were right, Paul. braintreepayments.com/windows. This is go down the road from Paul. Turn left on Route 128, and there it is. Braintree Payments.
That's fairly accurate.
.com. Actually. Everything's turned left on Route 128. braintreepayments.com/windows, or unless you go up I-95. But I like the Mass Turnpike myself.
Well, actually, for that stretch of road, they're the same.
Yeah. It's got the little pilgrim's hat with an arrow through it. I always thought that really was kind of a counterproductive logo. Oh,
that's the Mass Turnpike.
That's the Mass Turnpike. I don't. It seems like that's something. What? Do you really want to emphasize that?
It's sending mixed messages.
It's a little mixed. It's a little mixed.
My favorite part about Windows. I'm sorry, about Windows. About Route 128 is that when you go south of 128, which is south of 95, and then 95 veers off, and you're still on 128 going south, but now you're also on 93 going north. Welcome to Massachusetts.
That's it, right in a nutshell.
It's like, makes no sense at all.
Have you ever tried to drive in Boston? My God, insane.
Yep.
It is.
Insane.
Well, at least there's great signs everywhere, so you're fine.
I have such memories of being lost in Boston.
I told you about the state trooper, right, with the directions? I told you the story.
No, well, tell it again.
He said, what do I look like, Rand McNally?
Rand F. McNally?
When I asked him for directions.
Officer, how do I get to...
That's what he said.
Fan oil. How do you pronounce that? Faneuil Hall?
Yep. Fan oil.
Fan oil hall.
Fan oil hall. What do I look like? Effing Rand McNally?
State trooper. Your tax dollars at work.
Yeah. Go file it yourself. I don't. What he's really saying is I got no idea.
Yeah, he has no idea.
I got no idea.
Actually, his eventual advice was to drive into the tunnel with all the signs in front of it that said, don't drive into the tunnel. I'm serious.
See that big dig over there?
Don't worry about the signs.
Just go.
Don't go that way.
What could possibly go wrong? Tip of the week from Paul Theron.
Crazy. So I mentioned that I'm probably going to be splitting the Windows 10 book into like a mobile book and a non-mobile book, right? And so one of the little side things about this is I've never completed the Windows Phone 8.1 book. This is too much to do, I think, especially with moving to the new site this year. So I think I'm going to skip over that. And what I'm going to do instead is detail a bunch of stuff that's new between 8.1 and 8, right? If you update from Windows Phone 8 to 8.1. And so this week I started doing some of that stuff. This is stuff that was in the book or was going to be in the book. And so the first three are out now, and it's basically kind of really neat Windows Phone 8.1 features that are differentiators from previous versions. Wi-Fi Sense, Storage Sense, and Data Sense. And I'll do one on Battery Saver next. But Data Sense is, or I should say these Sense apps are mostly settings apps, although confusingly one of them isn't. And they allow you to do such things as monitor your data usage, limit your data usage over cellular, jump over to Wi-Fi networks automatically. The Wi-Fi Sense feature has a cool feature where there are over a million public hotspots that require some kind of authentication. You go to a web page, you put in a name, a phone number, maybe your email address, and then it lets you onto the network. It will actually auto log you onto those networks using bogus data, which is kind of hilarious. And then Storage Sense, which lets you manage the data on the device, which is particularly important if you have, are running out of space and you can figure out what it is. Or if you have an SD card and you want to do things like, I was using the internal storage for apps and for data, for music and, other things. I want to move that stuff over to the card. This app gives you the capability to do that. And so just basically, these are the first three. There's going to be a bunch more of these, and I'll be doing these over the next few weeks. So if you're using Windows Phone, stay tuned to the site and there'll be more. And then the software pick, actually, I like your idea of Hyperlapse. I should have had that. And so I'll just add that as one. Hyperlapse is available. I think it's actually on all three? It's iOS, Android, and Windows Phone now. Is that correct?
I think so. I think Android was the last. And it's
beta.
So you'll have to do that thing.
You have to do that Google Plus community thing. Yeah. Yep. I did a short one of going through the car wash. It's on YouTube. It's one of the most popular videos on YouTube. It's a really fast trip through a car wash. It's a cool app. I like it. I don't have like an extreme skiing video I can use. So I got my car washed. But the other pick I had is Mix Radio. And you might remember Mix Radio. It started as Nokia Mix Radio. And it was a streaming music service that was only available on Lumia handsets. And then Microsoft bought Nokia and Mix Radio came over with that. And at the time I was thinking Microsoft should use this as part of Xbox Music. And it has functionality that Xbox Music lacks. And then they sold it off. And so Line bought Mix Radio. And no huge surprise, but this week Line released versions of Mix Radio for both iOS and Android.
Line is a messaging app, very popular in Asia.
So here's the good news is they have pledged and promised not to ignore Windows Phone, that as they update the application, they're going to update it on Windows Phone as well. It's a free service. It even has offline capabilities for free. It has had handcrafted music mixes like radio stations. I mean, long before Beats ever was a thing, I mean, they were doing the same thing. In other words, human beings, music experts actually creating these mixes. It's a great little app. I mean, in the sense that you don't have to have just one music app on your phone. I mean, I think this is one, regardless of what kind of phone that you have, you should give it a shot. You should check it out. It's a great little app.
And now it must be available. Frustrating, though, huh? It must be frustrating, though.
What's that?
Well, it was Microsoft, and now it's not.
I wish they had kept it. Yeah. I really liked Mix Radio, and I liked as it was Nokia first. Let's say when it was Nokia. I watched it, be updated and improve over time, and I really liked where it was heading, and I still do. But it's of slightly less interest to kind of Microsoft watchers because it's not Microsoft anymore. But it's a great app, and you should definitely check it out.
Is it you do have to subscribe, right? I mean, is it a
You can, but you don't have to.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yep. That is your pick.
And if you do, it's cheap. I don't subscribe, but I want to say it's, I think it's like $3.99.
Oh, that's a good deal. Oh, that's a good deal.
It's not expensive.
Mixed Radio. Our enterprise pick of the week comes to us from Mary Jo Foley.
My pick of the week is something called a convenience roll-up. And convenience roll-ups are packages of hot fixes that Microsoft makes available every once in a while, where they take like 70 hot fixes that they issued over a number of months. They roll them all up. You can install them as a single package and only have to reboot once, I believe. So Microsoft issued a few of these over the past couple of years. There was one back in 2013 that we wrote about called Slow Boot, Slow Login Hotfix Rollup. That was 90 hotfixes for Windows 7 wow. and Windows Server 2008.
This is what they used to call service packs, right?
They're very similar to service packs, yes.
No, it's a convenience.
Convenience. It's a convenience for you and me to get these. Great. So now, here's the big news. There's going to be another one of these for Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008 R2 coming sometime probably around the release of Windows 10. I don't know how many hot fixes that thing's going to roll up, but supposedly quite a few. And Microsoft is billing it as, if you're on Windows 7 Service Pack 1, Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to want to apply this convenience update when it comes out to help you get ready for Windows 10. But even if you're not really getting ready for Windows 10, it will be a much more convenient way for you to get all those hot fixes and apply them at once. So the idea is to watch out for this coming convenience update sometime in the next couple months.
All right. Cool. Got a code name for us?
I do. And another one, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. It's Ticino, maybe? T-I-C. I-N-O.
I think if it's Italian, it would be Ticino. Swiss. Oh, I don't know.
Switzerland.
Swiss.
So Ticino is a Swiss canton, which means a federal state, I guess. And that is the code name for what became Visual Studio Code. Visual Studio Code is the lightweight editor that Microsoft rolled out recently for Mac, Linux, and Windows. And the reason it's codenamed Ticino, this is kind of interesting, is the team that supposedly engineered code is based in the Microsoft Zurich office.
Well, they probably know how to pronounce it.
They might know how to pronounce it. And I have to say thanks to Jublo Solutions, one of my Twitter buddies, for that tip.
Good. Good, good, good. And finally, a beer. Give me beer.
A beer. This is a beer Paul Thurrott has to find because he would love this beer. It's from Bell's Brewing in Michigan. It's called The Wild One.
Mm.
It's a wild ale / sour beer. And if you know what Flemish red beers are, very similar to that.
Like Chimay red? Is that?
Kind of like that, yep. So this is a sour brown ale that they age in oak red wine barrels to make it sour. And the good part is, if you're somebody who's kind of on the fence about drinking sour beers, this is a very nice transitional way to get into sours.
I actually love sours, and I think you got us into it.
I love sours. Yeah. Now, I used to hate them. The first time I had one, I was like, vinegar. But now I love them. This one's really, really good. It's easy to drink, not too sour. It's got a very nice mellow flavor. And if you're a wine drinker, kind of looking for a beer to bridge you over to this would be a good one.
There you go.
Yep.
It's kind of a whiny beer.
It is. Whiny beer. Good way of putting it. Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to whine, but we've come to the end of the line. I am I was really hopeful. I actually did install it and it's done, but now I got to paste my Microsoft password in there. And it's long and I can't do it while we do the show.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, I installed the leaked build that came before this on my ThinkPad.
Yeah.
I got Windows Hello support through the finger thing, which is it's pretty sweet.
That's the new sign-on system, the bionic sign-on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it like natively supported it.
Neato. Neato. Paul, Mary Jo, thank you so much. Paul Thurrott's at Thurrott.com. T-H-U-R-R-O-T-T.
Microsoft.com. Mary Jo's at allaboutmicrosoft.com. And together they form the dynamic duo behind Windows Weekly every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC, live.twit.tv, or get it on demand after the fact. Audio and video available everywhere, including the new Spotify. Happy to say that. Please watch every week. Subscribe, if you will. I think you'll...
When does the Spotify thing happen, Leo?
As soon as you get the update to the... Well, no, I take that back because I did get the update to the software on iOS, and I don't see it yet, but it's got the new stuff, so I think it's just going to be a matter of pushing it. We've been uploading, you know, the data, the audio and video to them for a while, you know, a month or so. So just for internal testing. So should be soon.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about that. That's 60 million more people that can hear you and your thoughts.
As insane as they may be.
As insane as they may be. So that's good. So, yeah, if you have the new Spotify, keep your eye peeled for Twit Podcasts on there as well. And, of course, Microsoft has the, I think they call it the Xbox Music Store. There's also a podcast app on your Windows phone. We'll be there. Everywhere, frankly, that you can get your shows, that's where we are. Do subscribe so you get every week. Thank you both for being here. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.